called kingdom carriers, that we carry the kingdom. The whole idea of this is that whatever we carry into a situation influences that situation and the people in it. So if you, I grew up watching Westerns. That was the TV of choice for what our antenna got and what my parents approved. And there was something always like expected, right? All the outlaws go into the saloon and like they're doing their outlaw thing, right? They're drunker than a skunk. I mean, they're just being outlaws. And the marshal comes in. He's got the badge on and he's got the six-shooter on his side. And when he walks in, he carries his authority, right? He comes in and the outlaws put the blueprints to the bank vault away and they sit up a little tighter, they look over their shoulder, they're behaving. Why? Because the marshal comes in with the authority, with that gun, with that badge, whatever it is, and they respect him. There's something in that authority. Well, the kingdom of heaven is greater than that. It's different than that. It's greater than that. But when we carry, as followers of Christ, when we carry the kingdom of heaven with us into any situation, it impacts people for the good. And so Jesus, when he started the ministry, he said, repent, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom of heaven, he's given to us. When he ascended, he kept it here with us. And so we get to bring the kingdom of heaven. And it's this, it's the system of declaring the good news of Christ among the world in word and deed. And so this is what we're doing today. We have access to the kingdom, and man, we are to utilize it, right? If you've ever been given an article of clothing and you're like, that's really, and you really do like it, but you don't ever kind of figure out the place to actually wear it to, and it stays in your closet, it's still yours. It's still, like, you still have access to it, but if you don't wear it, it stays in the closet and doesn't do anything. But if you wear it one day and people are like, I really like that, right? It has an impact. That's what we want in the kingdom of heaven. You all in Christ have access to the kingdom. And so nobody has to do anything with it. But it's yours. It's a gift from God. It's what Christ brought to us. And he desires that we live this kingdom out, that we exude this in our everyday. So we want to, if you will, wear the kingdom of heaven as we carry it. Our series this month of October, it is going through the valleys. It's kingdom carriers, how we carry the kingdom in the valleys of our church. And last week we looked at our first value, which is engagement. And this week we're going to look at expectancy. We want to be an expectant church. The next 3 weeks will be truth, will be honor, will be generosity. And so for expectancy, I want to ask you, would you just read this with me? This is like our mini creed on what it means to be expectant. God has made it a point to answer the prayers of St. Paul of Westport. We expect God to be present and move in power. We pray courageously in order to take new ground for Jesus' kingdom. That's what it is. We want to be expectant. We want to place high expectations on God, on one another. Like, we want to live in this expectant way, always waiting for God to move. And the reality is, having expectations brings excitement to our lives. In general, it totally does. Have you ever been in a filled-up stadium or arena for a game that you're so invested in, and you just feel that buzz? It's like there's electricity, or your band is playing, right? And you just know something's going to break. They're going to play your song. Or the game is like, it's so close. You're just expecting to win this thing. And thanks. Some of you watched last night. I know. Anyway, I was very, very expectant of my Oscars. But if you've ever been to that point and you just, it adds so much excitement to your life to be expected. Have you ever been part of a project, a team project where you're working with others, and it's like, it could go either way, but you press in believing believing that this can happen. We're going to make this work. We're going to dig as deep as we need to dig, and we're going to get this to go. And it go, and it, right, it's so exciting. That's what it's supposed to be like. When we have high expectations, and especially when we're part of that, it instills this desire to finish well, right? To give our very best, to hold our own selves to the highest level of accountability that we can do, right? It puts this inner drive in. If you have no expectations and just all kind of just like, we'll see what happens. If we do that in everything in life, we're going to find that life becomes kind of mediocre to some degree. Like, we need that drive. Not maybe not 24/7, but we need those spurts that really push us into that. But here's the thing. As exciting as that makes our lives, to have expectations, to have high expectations of God is even more exhilarating. Because His potential is so much further than ours. And so, Can you see it? If your life, if you have expectations of others, of yourself, it's pretty exciting, right? How much more so when you actively choose to live a life of high expectations involving God? It gets even more exciting. And that's what our lives are supposed to look like in Christ. If you're bored as a follower of Jesus, you're doing it wrong. And I don't mean that wrong. Way, but our God is not a boring God. He's a very exciting God, and He's on the move. We want to partner with Him. We want to see what He's doing, and we want to jump when He's having us jump. And so before we get into Scripture today, I think this is important. I'm going to hit a couple highlights, or I don't know if they're highlights, a couple reasons why I believe we stumble when it comes to high expectations, and maybe even setting high expectations. And I think to some degree, these probably all hit us at varying levels. For some, that one's it, and for others, that one's like a little bit. I just want to run a couple of these through, because I think putting them out here is helpful for us as we desire to live expectant. So these are a couple challenges to high expectations. The first one is this. You might say, I've been burned in the past, and I don't want to be let down again. How many of us have ever, like, doing something because I've gotten burned in the past, right? This is sports fandom on one level. But how often, I can think of a number of times I've met somebody and gotten to really care for someone, and that person will say, I have sworn off marriage. I got burned before. I'm never going back to that again. And it's this hardcore conviction. And that, it's like we take one thing where we got hurt or something didn't go right, and we quickly want to just back off and protect ourselves and say, I'm not getting into that again, right? And you know, marriage, for example, that's a gift from God. Like, being a victim of something like this, a gift from God, is crushing. And if it hasn't been you don't know, right? But it's still a gift of God that He can redeem. And that's the thing. Like, relationships in themselves, marriage, work relationships, friendships, church relationships are actually built, healthy relationships are built on high expectations of one another. And communicating those high relationships, those high expectations, agreeing on what they are, and then following through. That's actually how relationships work. They need high expectations in order to thrive. If you go into any kind of relationship with really low expectations, it's not going to go very far. It just won't. The deepest, the best ones take on more. In the kingdom, meaning spiritually speaking here. I know this can happen for us. I've been burned in the past. I don't want to be let down again. How often have you ever prayed so hard for something? And you know this is coming through. You know this is going to happen. This job, this relationship, this disease is going to get defeated, right? You're all in, and it doesn't go your way. And, I mean, there's like a final answer on it. And you look and you're like, what in the world? I trusted God on that. Wow. And then as you're processing it and you're hurting, you start to think of a couple other times you prayed something and it didn't go your way. And then you're left with these almost compounding type of, I've been burned a number of times. And we feel the victim in our own self, almost like from God, like he let me down. That's kind of the take, right? It can happen. Or we can even look another way. We can just say, if I don't have high expectations, because I don't want to get burned, I'm just not gonna go there because I don't want to potentially be let down by God, or at least feel that I'm being let down by God, because that would just destroy my faith, and I can't handle that, and so I'm just gonna be safe, and this will keep me out of faith here, and that's okay, right? It's like there are all these reasons, but I know this is an obstacle for some of us to have high expectations. It's because we've been burned in the past, or we feel like maybe we've been burned in the past, and it's just a protective mechanism. There's another one I want to give us. Perhaps you thought this. I'm a fool to place trust in someone else. This is narcissistic Western society, right? I got this. It's better if I can just do this and do it my way and do it right, and it's all going to be good, right? But how incredible is it when we do put high expectations on others and we actually depend on other people? That's what any relationship is, right? Depending on somebody. I can't imagine Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, or that other guy who's tied with them, those three, but have regrets about their life. They've won tons of singles, men's titles and tennis. And I'm sure they're really happy. But there's something about team sports. There's something about team projects. There's something about working with other people where you realize it's not just your ability, but it's actually to function in one way. It's actually your skill. It's actually your ability to communicate, to motivate, to lead up, to lead down, to lead sideways. It's all of these things coming together, and it's truly exhilarating. And it's really healthy. And it's so much easier to just say, I don't want to depend on anybody else. I got this. I'm going to do my part, and if their part fails, well, I'm still going to look good because I got this. Like, that's so unhealthy, and it's a terrible way to go through life. Do you know that family life is supposed to be dependent on one another? Church life. Supposed to be dependent on one another. We're not just a group of individual super saints, right? Running this race, and it's like, I got Jesus. I got more than you. That Paul actually wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and scolded them for that. He's like, you guys aren't unified. And you're all like running your thing and doing your own deal. That like you're supposed to be, I think he said one loaf, like you're supposed to be together in this, unified in this. I think last week we looked at Philippians, same word of unity. And so it's like, yeah, the church, like we want to not just say, hey, I'm gonna just take this myself. I know what I'm capable of, and I don't want to depend on anybody else. I know that's one of the reasons we can avoid high expectations, is that it involves other people. Last one I'm going to give us. I want to control all that I can so that I mitigate risk by aiming low. This is where we have all kinds of opportunities in our lives. And we say, look, I don't want anything to go wrong. I want to be in control. I want to have just a clear I just don't want to be stretched too thin. I just want this to all be easy. And so we take our expectations, right, that could be up here in Christ, and we actually bring them down to eye level so that we can see everything. Now, there's aspects of our life that this is actually healthy to some degree, right? That we don't overcommit ourselves and burn out. But when this incorporates every aspect of our being, where we're like, no, I am a control person. I have to be in control, and I don't want anything to rock my boat. We probably cross the line on that spiritually. Like in the kingdom, how does this happen? I'm convinced it happens when we play everything safe spiritually. When we only pray safe prayers. When we think of finances, it's like church isn't notorious for this. The spirit of poverty, where it's like, well, we need to stockpile because we don't know what the future is. And this whole like, just let's just play super careful and not take any risks. It's like, first, do you know that the kingdom of heaven, do you know Jesus is a risk taker? He walked on water. Try that. I bet you won't. Why? Because you're not a risk taker like that. But the same, like, this is the whole idea. COVID, safety. I was amazed, probably still am today a little bit, at the extremes on some views. And I talk with other pastors about this, and it's like, it's really interesting. Like, when COVID started, we didn't understand. Like, it was freaky because we literally didn't know much about it. But now that we have learned, it's like we have protocols in place, and we're super respectful society on, like, somebody's going to be overly careful, and maybe I don't share that view, but I'm going to really honor that person, right? I mean, we just do that, right? And it's been interesting, like, just watching, you know, people might not come to church for a long season, but then perhaps you see them in a very public, enclosed space somewhere, and it's like, wow, like, what we're doing at church is, like, literally, like, we're doing everything we can to make this the safest place there is. And it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like these, like when we have high expectations that God can do anything, but we're like, actually, I want to control the things. I just want to control. This is what happens. And then our reputation, we can go on this. But the point is, there are all kinds of obstacles and challenges we face to just having high expectations. And they hit at home in different places. If those were three reasons, maybe one of them hit you. Maybe three of them did. Maybe there's others. But we're going to look at a passage today, which I think is just such an awesome passage on expectations. It's going to be Luke 18. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke 18. There was a couple, I don't know, a month or two ago, we were in a series, and we looked at the faith of the centurion. Do you remember this? This was a guy, military leader in the Roman army in Capernaum. He did a two-day walk to find Jesus. And he said, when he got to Jesus, he said, this is not the story, really. But he said, Jesus, my servant is sick, dying, and he's suffering really bad. Will you come? Or will you say a word and heal him? And Jesus is like, well, I'll come. And the guy's like, no, your word is enough. Yeah. And Jesus said, all right, he's healed. And literally at that moment, he was healed, because his other servants here with the sick guy, like, saw him get well right away, and this guy, and they walked, and like a day later, they met in the middle, and they're like, they put the timing together, and it was absolutely incredible. This man, who previously didn't have faith in Jesus, who then gave his life to Jesus, like, put these high expectations on him, and God totally delivered. So, we're going to be at Luke 18, and the context of this passage is, it's like Palm Sunday. Jesus is in Jericho, and Jericho is like one of the very last stops before Jerusalem. So he's going to crest the hill, and he can look down the valley and see Jerusalem, and he's going to weep. They're going to throw the palm or the cloaks on the ground, wave the palm branch. This is just before that, okay? And so, we're going to start verse 35, so Luke 18, 35. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped, and he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is incredible. We know from the Gospel of Mark, his name's Bartimaeus, but in the true integrity of not popping from different books of the Bible, we'll just call him by his name here, a blind man. He's sitting by the roadside begging, which is really, this is his life. This is what he has. He's blind. In that time, he wasn't capable of doing anything else, so he just asked for money so he could eat. That was his cycle. But this was his one chance, like, once a year, Passover feast happened, and all the people come down towards Jerusalem. They pass on the road that he's sitting on, hoping to get money. And it's all the Jews walking in. It's very festive. It's very exciting. They're all in a really good mood. They might be have a little health chemically in them. Like, everybody's really happy and generous. And so this is like the big day, the big week where he can get his payday that could last him longer. And so that's why he's where he's at. But this guy, I mean, he begs for money for a living, and he's blind and he cannot see, and it's a tough life. But you think about, what are his expectations in life? They're low. This is what he does day by day. This is it. This particular day, he has higher expectations because there's going to be more people feeling more generous. Like, he'll get a few more coins, but otherwise, his expectations are kind of at the bottom. They're very low. Until Jesus. And this is the thing, when we're accustomed to monotony, our standard for high expectations is actually very low. If we're just plodding our way through life, and we're just going, we don't have a vision, we don't have an expectation that God is actually wants to partner with me in this. Our view of high expectations, like, I mean, we're just living down here with expectations. That's the reality. But you know what's contagious? High expectations. They totally are. Have you ever been on a team with somebody or worked with somebody that, like, just speaks positivity and truly believes that you can do things you've never done before? It's incredible. Like, having high expectations is genuinely incredible, which is such a good thing for us as we want to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth here. It's like, well, actually, we carry really high expectations of God, and that's contagious. Well, Jesus brings hope like no one else does. And for this man, when he finds out that it's Jesus, the Son, or Jesus of Nazareth, he gets ridiculously excited, right? And he starts shouting. In an already loud area, he starts shouting and shouts so loud that the people around him are saying, stop it. They're telling him to shut his mouth. And it says that he continued to persist and shouted this. Son of David, have mercy on me. It's a messianic title for Jesus. Like, this, all of a sudden, this guy went from just a life of low expectations and then just a shot of high. This is his one chance. Because he's heard about Jesus. They've all heard about Jesus. He hasn't seen Jesus, but he knows this might be his one chance that Jesus could give him sight. And he goes for it. And of course, the people don't like it, right? And they're telling them to stop it. The devil will always do that. Do you know that Satan does not want you to carry high expectations at all? wants you to live a monotonous life where it's not overly exciting. You're not engaged with God. Instead, you're just, I'm just surviving, man. I'm just going one day at a time, trying to have a little fun on the side. Just like, devil's okay with that. What he doesn't want you to do is place high expectations, high hope in God. That's his reality. And he certainly didn't want this guy to. But that's kind of where the boiling point of faith comes. Right? When we hit that resistance. And if our faith, when we face resistance in our you call it high expectations, just even our asserted faith, or okay, I'm taking a step I haven't taken before. I might go for this. And then you hit that resistance. Either it's your faith is going to kind of break apart and kind of sit back down, or if you press through that when there is resistance, it's going to be incredible. Like, this is where your faith takes significant gains, and what was your ceiling before becomes your floor. That's it, but it's when we hit that resistance and we continue to press through. In verse 41, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And notice he just boldly said it before Jesus. "This is what I want. I want to boldly recover. I want to recover my sight." And Jesus gave it to him. When Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well," the Greek for that is, "Your faith has saved you," which is so fascinating because this is the same language that Jesus would give for salvation to somebody, which isn't what the guy's asking for, right? The guy wants to see. But he has so much hope, so many high expectations in Jesus, that he goes to these lengths and he presses through the resistance to it, right? And Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." Meaning, he got healed or saved in his body, his eyes, open, he's able to see, but Jesus also gave this man the gift of salvation. He gave him because he recognized the high hope, the high amount of faith that this guy had that Jesus could be his help. It's not just in this world, though, it's in the world to come, which is awesome, and that's what this guy got. Jesus absolutely blew the top off this man's high expectations that soared for him. He followed Jesus, glorifying God, and he lived out this salvation. I mean, this is what verse 42 is, or 43, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. It's incredible. And then look, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. The witnesses, all the people. Remember, this is a really crowded moment in the Bible. And they're all glorifying God. They're just like, wow, it blew their mind. Those who told him to be quiet a moment ago are now shaking their head like, got that one wrong. Because God showed up in a really powerful way. I love that passage. I love what we can glean from it. I want to leave us today with just a couple things. There are a couple reasons for you to aspire to having high expectations of God. High expectations. Not middle or medium, but high. Number one, God is trustworthy. He's loving. Right? He's good. He's capable. You know, when we say God is good, we're talking about his character. Like, he always does what's best. This is who God is. God is good. We trust that his actions are right. If we say God is loving, we're talking about his motivation. Because God always puts his relationships with us as priority. It's remarkable. He always does what's right. He always prioritizes relationship with us. And he's able. He's capable. His ability that he... Jesus is the one who says nothing is impossible, right? You have low expectations. Nothing is impossible. Don't have a lid on your expectations of what God can do. It's like Jesus, right? So it's the whole idea that we can aspire to have high expectations of God, to live expectant of God, Because number one is nature. His nature demands it. There's nothing in the nature of God that would have us lower expectations. Number two, we expand our faith when we willingly depend on God. I mean, this works for so many, right? So, do you remember the first time? I would, as a kid, try to go change the oil or work on the car or something, and I need help, and I go to dad. You know the first time I got it without help? How good I felt. I was so proud. I remember our kids, you know, Andrea and I would leave them, and they would have to make dinner, and the first time they used the stovetop burner, right, where the flame poofs up, all scary like, and then settled, right? And the house stayed, and it was amazing. Their confidence grew. Now they will make quesadillas for anyone if you come to our house, because they're confident they can like blow the chilies like that. They totally can do that. Why? It's because like once you do that, you're like, yes, this is it. Can do that. Do you know that faith is having confidence in God? And when God has done something, this isn't about me being able to do something now I have confidence. This is God. His track record is incredible. It's impeccable. It's like an A plus. It's flawless. And so when we have faith in God, when we have high expectations, yes, we trust his character. The very nature of our God is just incredible. That alone, no matter how I feel, his nature says we can have high expectations of him. But two, when we recognize that God is doing this, like he's so, my faith grows when I continually trust in him and see him deliver. The last one I want to give you, we'll close with this today. When we aspire to have high expectations, it puts us squarely in the middle of a great opportunity to witness the greatness of God. This is the goal of a kingdom carrier. This is it. We want to be able to witness the goodness of our God, his glory, and that every time he says yes to prayer, every time he does something incredible, like we want to be witnesses. We want people to see the high expectations of God that we have, because we're walking in this, carrying the kingdom of heaven on this earth, and we continually see God do amazing things. That bears witness to others about Jesus. Let's pray. God, we're so blessed to be in you. Lord, as we go through life, Lord, may we not trudge, but may we look eagerly for what you're up to and how we can be a part of this with you, God. We place high expectations on you. We're expectant when we pray. We're expectant, God, when we're feeling down, that you are present and about to release the floodwaters. God, we bless you today. Grow us in faith and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.